You may have seen the Narnia video series that came as a result of his pen. But C.S. Lewis was a Christian novelist. He was an apologist. He died in 1963, but before his death, here's what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "Education without values." Now, listen carefully. Education without values, as useful as it is, seems rather to make man a more clever devil. In other words, it doesn't make him better. It just makes him smarter, more clever in his sin and in his rebellion against God. Now, that is certainly, it is certainly a true statement. And it's a statement that we can see proof of in this day and age in which we live. And it's because of the fact that highly educated men, and in our day and age, highly educated men have rejected biblical values, and they have become very clever, and they have become very skillful in inventing new ways to ignore God's law. And they've come up with new ways to please only themselves. Now, the sad thing is that same thing has infected the lives of many Christians. Many Christians, all they think about is what makes me feel good, what makes me happy, what satisfies my wants, you see, what fulfills my desires. And so it's no surprise then with this kind of mentality, it's no surprise that people live their lives without any sense of responsibility and without any sense of accountability, whether when it comes to the things that they do in their life. And it's this absence of moral accountability that is in our world today that we commonly call the evils of society. That's where it comes from. The evils of society. But when we turn to the Word of God and we begin to follow biblical values, we're then able to discover what life is really all about. And it's not just about us, okay? But we find out what life is really all about. And from the Word of God, we're able to learn how we can have a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We learn how to become a child of God. And we also learn how to think and how to behave as members in God's family. Now, that's some of the things that we learn. And when we build our lives on godly values instead of the world's values, when we build our lives on godly values, the result is going to be threefold. First of all, there will be a godly character. And secondly, there will be a life of useful service. And thirdly, there will be an eternal reward in heaven. All of those things are promised. So in order that we might have a life that is truly successful, not just satisfying the temporary desires of our flesh, but to have a life that is truly successful in the long term. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the Christian's responsibility in the area of stewardship. In the area of stewardship. But in this message tonight, I want to lay a foundation. I want to lay a foundation by showing three main points that we need to understand. And the first main point is the point of the two kingdoms. The point of the two kingdoms. In Colossians chapter 1, and verse number 12 and verse number 13, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Now, we understand that every person on earth is the citizen of a physical nation. And whether they realize it or not, every person on this earth is also a citizen in a spiritual kingdom. You are, whether you realize it or not, you are a citizen in a spiritual kingdom. Each physical nation has its own culture, has its own customs, and each spiritual kingdom has its own values and its own value system. And so the two kingdoms are clearly presented in the text that we just read. You notice Paul mentioned, first of all, there is the kingdom of darkness. There is the kingdom of darkness. This is the kingdom into which all men are naturally born. It's this kingdom into which all men are naturally born. All men are naturally born enslaved under the power of darkness. And therefore, there are three things that are absolutely true about every natural born man and woman in the world tonight. Number one, they are spiritually blinded. They're spiritually blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So every man naturally born into this world is spiritually blinded by the God of this world. Number two, they are spiritually dull. They are spiritually dull. Ephesians 4:18, the Bible says that they have had their understanding darkened. They've had their understanding darkened. Why? Because of the blindness of their hearts. And so because of this darkness that is in their understanding, they are dull when it comes to understanding or being able to appreciate the things of God. And so they're spiritually blinded, they're spiritually dull, and then they're also, number three, spiritually condemned. They're spiritually condemned. In John 3, verse 19 and verse number 20, the Bible says that this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That light is who? Jesus Christ, right? So light is, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but here's the problem. Men love darkness. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But for those who will come to the light, for those who will repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ, they are delivered from their enslavement to the power of darkness, and they are made to become citizens, letter B, in the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of light. In John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I am come. I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Should not abide in darkness. Those who come to the light of Jesus Christ, it is not God's will that they should abide in darkness. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. Ephesians 5:8. He said, for ye were sometimes darkness. In other words, in previous times, you were in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Now ye are light in the Lord. In 1 Peter 2:9, the Apostle Peter says this. He said, ye are a chosen generation as believers in Christ. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That just means we're weird, okay? We're peculiar. We're different from the world. We're not supposed to be the same. And so he says, you're a peculiar people. Why are we all of these things? That we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you, notice it, out of darkness and into His marvelous light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, the Apostle Paul said this, "Ye are all," talking to those who have put their faith and trust in Christ, talking to the members there in that church at Thessalonica, he said, "You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." The bottom line is simply this, folks. Since we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and have been made to be citizens in the kingdom of light. Now, I'm talking tonight to those who've been truly born again. I'm not talking to people who have their name on a church membership roll. Because you can go to join a church, but that doesn't save you, right? That doesn't save you. And so I'm talking about people who have been truly been born again. They've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness. They've been made citizens of the kingdom of light. And because of that wonderful fact, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, here's the command, walk as children of light. That's how we're supposed to walk. We are children of light. That's how we ought to walk. That's how we ought to live. That's how we ought to act. In other words, instead of walking according to the value system of this world, we are to be walking as Christians according to God's value system. Okay? Number two. That brings us to the believer's dilemma. The believer's dilemma, even though we're saved, and even though we have become citizens in the kingdom of light, we still live in a world of darkness, don't we? We still live in a world that is under the control of Satan, and it is really a kingdom that is filled with all kinds of darkness. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the apostle said it this way, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world lieth in wickedness. We find a wonderful example of this fact in the life of Moses. You're familiar with the story. Israel had been in Egypt for nearly 400 years. They had served under cruel taskmasters. And of course, you understand that in the Bible, Egypt is always a type of the world, right? Egypt is always a type of the world. And because of a change in Egypt's government, the goodness of Joseph had been forgotten. Joseph was not remembered by the new Pharaoh that came to the throne. And as a result of that, Israel then began to serve as slaves and as servants there in the land of Egypt. They suffered cruel bondage. Because of the fact that their numbers were growing rapidly, Pharaoh ordered that all newborn Jewish males were to be killed. All newborn Jewish baby boys were to be done away with. But there was one family that would not obey. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, that by faith, when he was born, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why were they not afraid? Because they had faith in God, see? They had faith in God. And so they were not afraid. And so you know the story. When Moses was 3 months old, you know how babies are, about 3 months, they start getting noisy, right? And so it was kind of hard to keep Moses hidden. It was kind of hard to keep Moses from being discovered, and so they went out and they got some rushes from the riverside, and they made a basket. They took the basket and they covered it with the pitch, and then they put the baby in there and put it out in the river. And you remember Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe and she found the basket. And as soon as she opened it up, the baby cried, and you know how women are, you know. As soon as the baby cried, "Oh, look at this little baby," you know. And she knew it was a Jewish baby. And yet she determined that she was going to adopt that baby and raise it in her home as the grandson to the Pharaoh. But then there came a day. Came a day when Moses had to make a decision. Moses had to make his own choice. By the way, there comes a time in every person's life when they're under the authority of mom and dad, and they just do whatever mom and dad say. But there comes a time when the kid becomes an adult. And now they're responsible for their own choices. Now they're responsible to make their own decisions. And so there came a day when Moses grew up, and so the question then began to turn in his mind: Am I going to live my life like an Egyptian, or am I going to live my life like one of the people of God? In other words, am I going to live like the kingdom of this world, or am I going to live according to the way God wants me to live? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 down to verse number 27, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years," in other words, he's now grown up, he's matured, he's old enough to make his own choices, old enough to make his own decisions. And so by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children or with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming. Now here was his value system. He esteemed, he calculated that the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so by faith, the Bible says, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I want you to notice a couple of factors that we see illustrated here. First of all, there is faith. There is faith. The reason why Moses made the decision that he made was simply because Moses, by faith, right? Now we understand Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the idea that we get from this is simply this, that Moses had faith because he had been taught as a child about God. You see, after Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, if you read the story, he was returned to his mother until he was weaned. That means for about the first 5 years of his life, Moses sat on his mother's lap every day. Every day he sat on his mother's lap, and every day he heard the stories and of the past, and heard about the Lord God and how that God had worked, and how that God had worked in the life of Abraham, and then how he worked in the life of Isaac, and then how he worked in the life of Jacob, and Moses heard all of those stories from the time that he could sit up to the time he was about 5 years old. And because of those stories that he heard, there was born in his heart faith in God. By the way, parents, your children are never too young to start teaching them about God. They're never too young. Satan knows they're not too young to teach them about the world through the cartoons and through the other foolish things that are on TV, you know. Satan knows it. Christians need to get clued into that fact. It's never too early to teach our kids about Christ and about the Word of God. From those lessons, Moses not only began to have faith, but I want you to notice another thing. From those lessons, Moses formed his values, letter B. From the lessons that he learned, not only did he have faith in God, but he began to form his values for his life. Because of his relationship with God, Moses valued the things of God more than he valued all the wealth and all the luxuries and all the power and all of the fame that Egypt had to offer, he valued the things of God more. Valued the things of God more. And so therefore, on the basis of his values, Moses then made some difficult, let her see, he made some difficult choices. Made some difficult choices. He's willing to turn his back on all of those things of Egypt because he valued the things of God and the people of God more than anything that Egypt could offer to him. And this choice was certainly, it was certainly not an easy choice. Because you see, to do that simply meant that he was turning away from all personal affluence. He was turning his back on all personal pleasures, personal comforts. Notice it says he was willing to suffer affliction. Willing to do that. Because of the choices that he made. And because of his godly value system, Moses became a man, letter D, a man of character. Character. Show you what kind of character Moses had. Think about this. Exodus 33:11. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Amen.
What a relationship with God. God met with, spoke to him face to face. Face to face. Like a man speaks to a friend. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 34:10. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. No other prophet in all the history of Israel was like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Face to face. Now, why did the Lord God have such a relationship with Moses? And it was simply because of the fact that Moses was a man of character. He was a man of character. And the reason why he was a man of character was because of the fact that he made right choices. Been talking with our young people during our fellowship, youth fellowship on Saturday, been going through the book of Proverbs with them. And one of the things that I've told them over and over and over and over again, that a successful life is simply a life that is characterized by making right choices. That's what a successful life is. It's making the right choices in life. And so Moses was a man of great character. Why? Well, it's because he made right choices in his life. But why did he make right choices? Well, it was because he followed God's value system. But why did he follow God's value system? Well, it was because he was living by faith. That's why. And even though we live in a wicked world system, as believers in Jesus Christ, just like Moses, we do not have to fall under the control of the environment that's around us. We don't have to fall under the control of that. Now you understand that to take a stand for God in this world system in which we live, there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle. And the frightening thing is that the battle is not going to necessarily be with the people out there. It's going to be a battle within your own heart. The Bible says it this way in Galatians 5:17, that the flesh, this right here, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. By the way, the word Spirit there, it's capitalized. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And our flesh is lusting against the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. And the Spirit of God is lusting against our flesh. And they are contrary one to the other, so that in our own strength and in our own power, you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, the idea is simply this. Every day as we go through this life, we have to battle within our own selves. Because the Spirit of God wants us to lead us this way, and our flesh is wanting to lead us this way, and we're constantly caught in a tug of war as each one is lusting to have control in our heart and in our life. And the daily battle is, how are you going to choose? How are you going to choose? And so we have this battle with sin, the battle with temptation, the battle with all the things that the world would seek to heap upon us. But I want you to know that that battle is a battle that can be won. Amen. We don't have to live as victims. We can live as victors. The battle can be won. How is it won? Well, Galatians 5 and verse number 16. Walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God have absolute control in your heart and in your life. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. That's how you have victory. That's how you have victory. However, the choice to walk in the Spirit will only come when our hearts are filled with the right value system that is based on faith and the promises of God. Now let me mention one other thing very quickly. The believer's calling. The believer's calling. Now we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, made to be citizens of the kingdom of light. And we have adopted God's value system instead of the world's value system. And as a result of those two things, the life of a believer takes on a whole new purpose. The life of the believer takes on a whole new purpose. Every believer who is sincerely striving to be what God wants them to be is going to find that there are two primary vocations in their life. Two primary vocations. Now, all of us have an occupation, right? All of us have an occupation. That's your choice. You choose how you're going to support your lifestyle. Vocation, though, is something that comes from God. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. God has given to us two vocations. First of all, we have the vocation of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's the vocation to which we are called. But we're also called to be a steward of the things of God. To be a steward of the things of God. And it's this second point that we're going to be dealing with for the next couple of weeks in this study together. But I want to begin by noticing that being a steward involves understanding three basic principles. Number one, it means understanding our benefactor. You see, not only is God the King who rules over that kingdom of light in which all of us are citizens by faith in Jesus Christ, but He's also our benefactor in that everything that we have is from Him. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, and is from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What that means is simply this: the health that we have, and the strength that we have, and the wealth that we have, and the talents that we have, and everything else that we may enjoy in this life is ours simply because God graciously gave it to us. God gave it to us. And that's why none of us have any justification for boasting, right? None of us should be boasting, because whatever we have it because of God, see? And so instead of boasting, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. But with all those benefits that God has given to us, we also find there is our responsibility. There is our responsibility. And it is our responsibility to use the things that God has given to us, the things God has entrusted to us, not to satisfy our own selfish desires or our own selfish wants, but to use the things that God has given to us in a way that will honor and glorify Him. That's our responsibility. Now, there's a third thing, and that is our accountability. Accountability. Because, you see, the Bible says in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us, every one of us, we're not going to be able to sneak out, okay? We can't say, well, I don't think I'm going to show up that day. No, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us are going to give an account to God for our stewardship, for how we have used the multitude of blessings that God has given so freely and so graciously to us. Great joy, great fulfillment can be realized in our lives if we will acknowledge God as our King and our benefactor. Great joy and fulfillment can be found if we will simply determine that we're going to live our lives not according to the value system of the world, but we're going to live our life according to the value system of the Word. And great joy, great fulfillment will be realized in our lives when we begin to use the things that God has entrusted to us in a way that truly honors and glorifies Him. So this is what we're going to be looking at for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about this thing about stewardship. Using the things that God has given to us for His honor and for His glory. I hope it'll be a series. It'll be a help and a blessing to us. Father, we thank You tonight.